magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up and welcome to the Dutch Arcade Show. Episode 1 of season 2? Is that how we're doing this? Or
actually,
is this episode 421?
Well, so I looked into this so to not fuck up anyone's numbering. And so the way that numbering works on podcasts is basically whatever you want it to be. There's not like a numerical field. It's just the title of the podcast is whatever you want it to be. Right. And most podcast clients just sort by the date the podcast was posted. So you could get like really weird with whatever the title is. Like it's honestly like doesn't matter at all. So
yeah.
So we could stick with season 2 episode 1 for a while. We can
I don't know. I feel like my OCD wants to keep the numbering game going. But I don't know. I guess I'll leave it up to you. I wonder if that would be confusing if people see that in their feed too. They're like, "What the hell is this season 2 thing?"
Yeah.
But welcome to a brand new season of the Touch Arcade Show. Please sit down and join us for the next 10 years as we work through season 2. Of this exciting show.
Wander through the wild world of
Touch Arcade. What are we going to be doing 10 years from now?
If I had to guess, sitting in my basement talking on Skype about dumb shit.
I think that'll be really, if that comes true, that'll be a really weird thing. If we're actually still doing this in another 10 years.
Yeah.
I will be hyper impressed.
Maybe it'll be this, but a different format. Apple AR goggles. Perhaps.
Maybe we'll just be virtually hanging out on the couch with all of our listeners.
Yeah,
in
like
some
that.
VR.
I actually VR have been world. Wondering, like, why? I feel like to me, like, that's like the killer use of VR. Is like, sorry, Lindsay just got home, and even though I texted her, please be quiet. I'm recording my podcast. She's yelling at the dog. So sorry if anyone can.
I like
that.
To hear that. That's the stuff that people tune in for. Yelling at pets.
Yeah, so where should we start today? I feel like I got a lot of off-topic stuff we need to get out of our system.
Well, actually, since we're talking about the 10-year anniversary, we got a few emails that I thought
read. Perfect.
Because it's been a while since we've read some emails. So first up is we asked people to email us if they had actually been listening to us for the full 10 years that the podcast has been on. Lo and behold, there are some.
Oh, that's really cool.
Dan says he's been a decade at least, and he didn't listen to the original run, but has listened to almost every episode since easily a decade.
What a cool dude.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. And
I've long maintained that anyone named Dan is cool.
Oh, yeah? Is that just a cool dude name?
Yeah, I don't know. I think every Dan I knew in school was always like the cool guy. So I always just mentally associated that with like a cool guy name.
Cool Dan. What? How do you feel about the name Ben?
My sister's grade school friend had a brother named Ben who was kind of a dork, and I haven't known another Ben since. I'm open to different.
Sorry, Ben. You'll have to sway us on how Eli feels about your name.
No, I listen.
But this is actually kind of cool. So Ben emails us and says that he was thinking about emailing us anyway because he just had the 10th anniversary. Or he's about to have the 10-year anniversary of his Touch Arcade Forum membership.
Oh, that's cool.
And so that's pretty cool. That's very old school.
You know, I've always said that Ben's a really cool name, and anyone named Ben is really cool
Ben,
guy.
One of the best names.
Yeah,
I've
Ben's
heard.
A really versatile name too, because you could be Ben, Benny, Benjamin, Benji.
Benji.
I don't know if anyone goes by Benji anymore after the dog ruined it, but.
Yeah, the dog did kind of ruin it for everyone, but
I'm sure there's other variations. Big so, Ben.
Yeah, that Big Ben is a popular Ben. So yeah, we're fans of the name Ben. That's also my stepbrother's name. I guess I should have mentioned that. But
Again, as I've long maintained,
10-year forum member, 10-year podcast listener. That's some impressive stuff. What have you been doing with your life, Ben? And then the last one we have is that Terrence. Says that he is also a TA list 10-year TA listener and proud of it.
Again, another awesome name.
So he says he started listening to Tetra Kyocho when he was overseas in Korea teaching English.
Oh, that's really cool.
He listened to it again when he moved to New Zealand with his lady. And then he continued to listen when he moved back to the U.S.
Nice.
And he says he remembers when Brad Nicholson refused to fact check and occasionally gorged himself on trail mix. And he remembers when Mike Mead could be easily found.
Yeah, Mike Mead is gone on walkabout in Australia.
More, he's ghosted harder than he was before even, which is crazy. And Terrence has also been a Patreon supporter since February of 2017, which is super awesome. And he's just subscribed to the full version of Game Club. So that is very awesome, too.
Oh,
so
cool. Thank you. That's cool.
Yes, loves and appreciates us. Thank you. We love and appreciate you as well as all of our listeners, readers.
I appreciate everyone.
All of yous. So that's cool. Very cool that people chimed in with their 10-year badges.
It's genuinely always bizarre to me to think that we have a podcast with an audience because, yeah. I don't know, to me, this is just bullshitting with a friend of mine at the end of the week. That's it. Oh, it's always really strange to hear oh yeah, I love you guys. I'm listening to you all over the world. This is, you know,
that is kind of a trip. That's humbling and awesome, I think.
Yeah. It's a bit of a mind fuck, but
yeah, I wouldn't have imagined that I'd be doing this 10 years ago. Although I guess I wasn't part of the original podcast run. So you're the 10-year veteran here. And I'm more like a 9-year veteran.
Yeah, but I don't know. Honorary. But you've been around Touch Arcade since the very beginning on the forums and stuff, too. So
pretty close to it, yeah.
I don't know. I think it all counts.
It counts. So that's really cool. If anybody else wants to email us, whether you're a 10-year lifer or not, if you want to just mention anything to us, for whatever reason, we love getting emails. So podcast@toucharcade.com. Yeah. And we will read them on the air and talk about how cool your name is.
Hell yeah. So I've got two customer support stories.
All right.
Today, or this week, ongoing. One involves Apple and one involves Spirit Halloween. Which would you like to hear first?
Spirit Halloween.
Oh my God. So remember last week I got the Fortnite Battle Bus and everything?
Yes.
Now, this might come as a surprise to you, but that thing has turned out to be a complete piece of shit.
No way.
A complete piece of shit. Yeah, so it died on Halloween, Halloween morning it died. So the way it works is the Fortnite bus is basically a big long tube of fabric, and then there's this other tube that goes up that makes for the balloon, and the balloon connects has these straps that run to four corners of the bus tube basically to kind of stabilize it a little bit.
Yeah.
And one of those just has completely fucking ripped out and created this foot by foot hole in the top of it, too big to tape or anything else like that, right? So I was like this is insane. I'm really big into dumb yard inflatables, and we have some that I've had since I bought my house 6 years ago that I put out every year for Christmas or Halloween or whatever. So I know that the fabric is thin and they're kind of janky and stuff like that, but I've never had one that only lasted 5 days.
Yeah, that's not good.
So, I'm like, this is insane. Anyone has to agree that this is a manufacturing flaw, or I got one that the seams weren't sewed right or not taped right, or you name it, something is not right with this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, surely this is going to be a slam dunk of an easy swap or return or something like that, right?
Here's your first mistake is thinking that.
So basically contacting Spirit Halloween now is a phone number that tells you their phones are not in service.
Awesome.
So I was like, and they're like, use our online chat. Guess what? Online chat is offline.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, so that's strike two. Mm-hmm. Let's see what maybe the local Spirit store has to say, or the local Spencer's, because it's a Spencer's spinoff or something like that.
No way, really?
Both were like, yeah, go fuck yourself. The all returns had to be postmarked, not returned in store, but postmarked before the 18th. What? And I was like, I didn't even order this until after the 18th. There's nothing on the website that says like all sales are final or anything like this. Is insane. And they, and you know, obviously I was just talking to some like 15-year-old that gave zero shit. So I was like, all right, cool. I got off the phone, called my credit card. And I was like, can I just dispute this charge? And they're like, oh yeah, no problem. It was like the most easiest, like the amount of time I wasted, like actively trying to like work with the Spirit Halloween people versus like how laissez-faire the people at Chase were about like, oh yeah, we've gotten all sorts of calls last week or so about these shady Halloween stores. Like, it's no problem at all. Like,
well, I mean, it's a Spirit stores are a traveling carnival of just like the worst, cheapest goods. And they just invade empty storefronts for a month and then vanish. So
yeah,
I'm not surprised that there's not a strong customer service there.
Yeah. So basically like the process now is like they immediately refunded my money, Chase did. And they're like, as part of this, like we contact the merchant and everything else. So like hold on to everything in case they want you to send it back. But otherwise, and I was like, so is there like a kind of like arbitration period here? Or like, how does this work? They're like, no, you just get your money back. Like, it's fine. Like, don't worry about it. Like, just hold on to it until you hear from us one way or the other, because like, you know, it might just be like, oh, because part of it is if they want me to send it back, they also need to provide me a return label and everything. So it's like, I don't need to do shit other than like throw this thing back in the box and like maybe mail it back to them. And it's crazy because like the only reason I disputed the charge is because I was just like so pissed off by like how the other people like treated me that I was like, I'm just going to dispute this because like I'm not even going to bother with this anymore. When I should have just done that from the get go.
Well, that's it's nobody wants to eat like $300 either, but. I never even really knew what chargebacks were or whatever disputing the charges thing was until a lot of people on Kickstarter and Indiegogo and stuff like that do that for campaigns that they get charged for that the thing never comes out. And apparently it's a similar sort of thing. They're like, I've seen tons of comments where they're like, yeah, I got my money immediately back, which sucks. I'm not getting this product that I thought I was backing, but you know, at least I'm not out the money. But I have no idea how the credit card companies deal with those situations, especially where a company just up and vanishes after they collect their money.
I mean, honestly, like I think for them,
they probably just write it off because they're credit card companies and they're huge. But
because that was, it was kind of weird. Like when I was, when my dad died and I was like cleaning up all his like different finances and stuff. Because like you don't realize like the amount of fucking like loose ends, even someone that like doesn't have very many like credit cards or anything like that has when they pass away. And like, it was kind of wild because like, I had this whole like speech built up in my head to go through and be like, look, dude, like my dad had like a 10-year battle with cancer. Like he died without a penny in his pocket. Like there's no estate to even like argue for any of this money. Like there's nothing left. So like, I don't know what you guys want to do about this or whatever else. And it was like, I was like 6 words into that, like very rehearsed thing that I had like come up and they're like, okay, cool. Yeah. Account's closed. Thanks for letting us know.
And I was like, loss.
What? Wow. So I guess lesson learned there is if you have a family member that's not doing great, run their credit cards to fucking infinity and beyond buying shit. Kidding,
right? That's crazy.
Because I was amazed. Like, by, they were just like, okay, yeah, cool. I was like, do you need a death certificate? They're like, no, it's okay. And I was like, all right.
Well, that's cool. So hopefully you actually get to keep the thing and maybe you can somehow fix it so you can
fucked. Like I don't know how, because it's like bad how much it ripped, because originally I was like
there's that spray in the can sealant stuff where the guy makes the canoes out of it and stuff.
Maybe I tried Flex Seal on it and that didn't work because it was Flex like like because the fabric's like this nylon-y stuff that's like really slick and it doesn't, it didn't stick to it.
So I flex sealed a hole in one of my floaties in my pool, and it's gross stuff.
But so, my second tale of customer service woe. This is arguably way more irritating. I think I told you about the part one of this story where I like, didn't realize that you could buy whatever Apple Watch band you wanted with this Apple Watch.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, Cliff Notes behind this was that every year previous to this Series 5 Apple Watch, you basically had to choose between like, I don't know, like what, like maybe half a dozen different off the shelf options.
Yeah. The material you were getting for your watch, steel or aluminum or whatever, indicated which like style bands you could choose for it.
Yeah.
Even though after the fact, you'd go to the store and buy any damn band you want and put it on any watch you want.
Yeah. So like, for instance, like the stainless steel one, like I believe only came with either the Milanese loop or the white plastic band originally. Mm-hmm. But then they also had this thing on their website where you could like load up, you know, what the like body of the watch looks like and then swap in all kinds of different bands and stuff. And I was always like, man, that's really dumb that you can't just do that when you buy the watch. Well, this year you could. Yeah. But it like they did a really bad job of like explaining that on the website. So when I found that out, I called them and they were like, oh yeah, no big deal. You know, just bring it into the Apple store. We can swap it out. No problem. You know, we do this all the time. It's not a big deal. And I was like, okay, great. Sounds perfect. So got the Apple Watch that Friday. Immediately went into the Apple store before I even opened it. They were like, oh yeah, we could do this, but the leather band you want, because I just want to pay the $50 upcharge, not in stock. Mm-hmm. So we can't like swap. We can't return this for a product we don't have in stock right now to like do the exchange. Cause like our computer, like we have to scan it and it just doesn't work like that.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, cool. Like no big deal. The Apple store is kind of like in this downtown-y area where we go to like eat a bunch. So stop in there every now and again, be like, hey, I got my Apple Watch band here. I'm just checking. You guys have this. You have to went a couple times. They were like, no, but like what you really should do is watch the app because the app shows our inventory. So you go to the Apple store app and just search like whatever you want. And it'll say like, oh, in stock in, you know, Naperville Main Place or whatever. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll do that. And you know, also asked, like one of these times, like, hey, I'm getting close to the end of like the 14-day return policy on this. Like, what's going to happen? You know, knowing this is like a weird situation, like what's going to happen? They're like, oh, it's just a band swap. Don't worry about that. Like, okay. No big deal.
Yeah.
So I've come to the realization now that the reason the band is always out of stock is because Apple now has two tiers of Apple stores. They have the flagship stores that stock everything. And then there's just the Apple stores that only stock like
certain things.
Yeah, like not like that. Like, so a normal Apple store doesn't sell like $100 Apple Watch band. They just sell like the plastic ones and sport loops and stuff like that. But they have them there for you to demo. They just are not sold in store. And if you want a product there, it takes them like 4 days to get it. So that's why in the app, it always showed like not in stock, available 4 days from now. And like none of the retail people like put that together when we like, kept looking it up and stuff. It's like, oh no, it says it'll be here. So like today, if I looked it up, it'd say, oh no, we should have it in on Monday. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, you know, no big deal. I'll keep on coming back. It's not, you know, not super out of my way. And we come down this way all the time. So whatever. So this last time I went in and talked to a manager after I put that together. And she was like, she's like, oh yeah, I don't know why you were told this at all. Because like, the online bundle you bought, like that's a completely different SKU. Like we don't have access to that. And like, we actually like, so I was like, okay, that's ridiculous. Cause that's nothing what anyone's told me before, but I was like, all right, well, like think outside the box here. Like, let's just say I walked in off the street. Like my grandma gave me this Apple Watch band. I don't have the receipt for it. Can I trade it for one that I want?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, because like that's again an online only SKU that's as part of a bundle. So there's like no way we can add that back to our inventory system or anything else. And like, I'd love to help you, but like, you know, our computers work how they work. And like, you know, I just like can't do it.
Yeah.
She was like, what I would recommend is like calling back the Apple online support people because this was an online order and they have access to all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool. I like appreciate your help. I wish I would have found this out like way earlier because everyone told me the exact opposite of what you just told me. So whatever.
Yeah.
So now I've been going through the Apple support process over the phone.
And they're probably like, oh, the 14 days has passed.
Yes, that is exactly. They're like, we have a little leeway, but I mean, like, you're like 30 plus days beyond this. And I'm like, motherfucker, the reason I'm this far behind is because I kept going back to the store and they were like, no, no big deal. Like, just wait for it to be in stock. Like, no problem, whatever else.
Right.
And I've been like ping ponged around their whole phone support system to the point that like now, and they like keep doing the shit where they're like, oh, we need you to get you a call back, talk to someone else. So they'll be like, when can we schedule that? And I'll be like, I don't know, tomorrow morning, whatever, that's fine. So I'm like, am I going to need to tell this entire story to the next person? No, they'll have the whole notes. Yeah. Everything. So of course they call me like, all right, so what's going on?
Don't know anything.
So now I'm waiting for a higher tier support person and they're going to call me inside of the next 72 hours. So here's the annoying part is that, and this is what just makes it like really pushes it to the next level. When Apple calls you, it comes through on the phone as like whatever it says, like possible spam or, you know, like whatever. I don't know if that's a Verizon thing or an iOS 11 thing or whatever. Because like the one of the callbacks, I almost didn't answer, but I was like, I don't know. It's like 8 in the morning, which is exactly when I told him to call me. So maybe I should answer this. So now I'm answering fucking every goddamn robocall and telemarketer that calls me, thinking it's going to be Apple. And like the most insane part of this is all I want to do is give them more money. All I want to do is be like, here, take this band, this new inbox, completely unopened, completely resellable, and let me give you $50 more for the one that I want.
Well, so the weird thing too is that I had the original Apple Watch, and then I jumped straight to the Series 4 last year. So I don't know when they made this change, but I was surprised when I got the Series 4 because it comes in like a long rectangular box, but then you unfold it, and it's kind of a wrapper around two separate boxes. Yeah. So the watch itself has its own box, and the band you have has its own box, exactly the same boxes that they stock in the stores for the band.
But it has a different barcode.
It has its own little barcode and stuff like that. So I could totally see it being a very easy thing to bring that thing in and swap it out so that they can put hang that one that you got in the bundle
and that's onto their
shelf and sell it like normal. Because it's not like, you know, if it came in like the a box and you're just trying to give them like a loose band back to get swapped out for a brand new or something, I could see that being weird, but it's not that way. It's completely packaged on its own like a normal band.
Right.
And which makes a lot of sense logistically for Apple too to ship these things out like that. So
yeah, but that's the exact reason why like there were like no red flags going off and everyone was like, oh yeah, no big deal, I just need you in stock. Because like all I was thinking was like, I don't want my money back. Like I don't want any kind of like weird refund situation. Like I just want to like trade this and pay the difference kind of thing.
I wonder if they would have taken the band back and given you an Apple card credit, like a
no gift card. She said they can't do anything because it's a store, like online store thing.
That's what dumb manager said. I wonder if she's just BSing you and the original people
know.
You talked to could have done something like that.
The problem is like the amount of time I've wasted on this now has like vastly exceeded the $50 savings of what it would cost me if I just like bought
why
the band.
Why don't you
that
pop that band open and just wear it? Maybe you'll learn to love it.
I don't know. It's just like one of these things where it's just like it's another situation with Apple support where I'm just like, how is this a reality?
Well, you'd also think Apple, the $1 trillion company, Apple, wouldn't go through such lengths to harass somebody about a $50 watch band.
I know, it's crazy. But
like I've bought things from like the tiniest little stores ever that would come in and be like, oh yeah, don't worry about it, you know.
Yeah.
It's $50. I'm not gonna, you know,
it's crazy.
Make you jump through hoops over it.
It's crazy. So I don't know. The only reason I'm like still following up on it is because I just want to see how deep this rabbit hole goes at this point. Like how high up Apple do you have to get to be like, wow, yeah, this is really easy. Let's just do this. Like
what you should have been doing all along is chronicling this with writing down your experiences and recording the calls so that, you know, at the end of it, you can it'll be like the trying to cancel Comcast Ryan Fox call.
Oh my god. But anyway, so it's the iPhone Games podcast. I guess we should talk about iPhone games.
Let's talk about the iPhone games on this podcast.
Can we throw in that Luigi's Mansion 3 is really good, and if you have a Switch you should buy it?
Yeah, let's see how we get towards the end, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit. But this week, Tropico from Feral Interactive was updated with the Absolute Power expansion, which is funny because you would have never known that because the update description says something very generic like bug fixes or something like that. Not like, hey, we've just released a huge content expansion for free.
Oh, this is free. I thought it was in-app purchase. Oh, shit, no. I need to...
So,
all right.
Luckily, they sent an email about it, too, and we were like, oh, okay, let's pay attention to this update because it features the expansion from the desktop version and stuff. And Tropico is a real good strategy game, so, if you like it, make sure you're updated and playing the new stuff. I could never get into this one myself, but I know you like it.
So. Yeah, it's cool. It's like one of these things where you have to, the mobile part is very good, but it's still, like, I don't know. I could just feel like it would be better with a keyboard and mouse. And like, it takes a little while to kind of like get over and be like, okay, like, well, I just need to like learn how the new control system works. And like, even though I see that this is a keyboard and mouse game, like it's just like, I don't know, a learning curve that is just a little annoying if you're used to playing these kind of strategy games on the PC, but yeah, otherwise super, super cool game. And
Yeah, I
know,
mean,
nothing but.
one of those very full-blown games too that'll keep you busy for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So, RuneScape Mobile finally launched in early access, but it
Speaking
is
of full
only
blown
on
games.
Android, so bummer for me because I don't have an Android device. But I don't know. That's good news. That's a big step towards RuneScape Mobile releasing.
Yeah, that's
And
cool.
yeah,
Nothing
pretty.
but good things to say about RuneScape these
It's
days.
kind of cool. You can actually sign up for one of the. You have to be a member to be able to play this, which, you know, a monthly subscription fee member for the desktop version. But you can actually sign up through the payment in the Google Play Store. And so I thought that was kind of interesting that they're allowing people to sign up for memberships that way, using the subscription services of the app stores and letting Google and Apple take their 30%.
Yeah, that is interesting. I assume that most people that play this aren't gonna like come through mobile,
I wouldn't think so.
right?
I would think that it's people that are already fans of the desktop version that already have accounts and stuff like that and are just excited to have like an on-the-go way to play. But you never know. Based on the old school RuneScape numbers that they have, it seems like a lot of players come from mobile. So I don't know. Who knows? It's probably a two-way street, but I feel like it's probably the majority people that already have memberships or
Yeah,
whatever.
yeah. So I don't know. I mean, that's cool. That's weird, but cool. I don't know.
And actually, if you want to skip ahead to, I forgot I
Oh
had another
yeah, old school
story in here.
RuneScape. I saw this and I was like, I should reorganize those. Oh,
Yeah.
motherfucker.
Which is always a fun experience on your iPad,
Yeah.
trying to reorganize tabs. So Old School RuneScape also had a little news bit this week. It's celebrating its first anniversary of launching on mobile, and they've had over 8 million installs of the game on mobile, which is a lot for something like
That's
this.
bonkers. That's
Like.
crazy too, because I remember when we first were talking about this, it was like, oh, this is cool, but it like seems extremely niche, right?
Yes. And so even when they hit the 5 million number mark only a couple months after it released, and that blew me away too, where I was like, really? Like, I feel like some people would be super into this, but like vast majority of people on mobile would not have the patience to put up with something like old school RuneScape.
No, for
But
sure.
I guess I'm wrong. 8 million, that's a lot of darn installs.
Because like also I'm doing a live unboxing right now of my AirPod Pros, but we can
Oh, AirPod Pros.
continue talking. Yeah, like so the other crazy thing about this is that like I feel like the mobile experience of RuneScape is like really not as good as on the PC. And like to
Yeah,
see
it's
like
really
the
scaled down.
uptake has
Yeah.
been absolutely bonkers.
But
So
like if all you really care about is like grinding away at something dumb or whatever, well, who cares if it's kind of a lesser experience if you can just get some things done while you're out and about on your mobile device. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, so they're celebrating their 1 year anniversary of the mobile version. And I think it was only yesterday that you could go into the game and get cake at the Varrock Fountains.
Oh, really? That's cool.
But maybe it's still going on. You can pop in and check it out. I imagine if you're a RuneScape player, then you were already aware of this
Probably
and
well
got.
aware. Yeah, and like if you're not a RuneScape player, like there's a what the fuck? There's that is a deep rabbit hole to get into. Like if you want a game that has like a lot of like story stuff and everything else, like this game has decades worth of content.
Right.
Like it
Yeah.
is crazy listening to them talking about like how long some of the quest lines in the game have gone.
Oh, there was one that just finished up with their last update that was like a 18-year long
Yeah.
storyline.
Which is crazy. And like I mean, like you have to appreciate the kind of like retro-y graphics and vibe of the game. And if you do, like you're in for a treat. So yeah.
So yeah, also this week, the remastered version of Five Nights at Freddy's 2 came out. We've talked about this on past shows where Click Team took over the reins of all the mobile versions of Five Nights at Freddy's from Scott Cawthon, and they are now in charge of maintaining it and keeping them updated and running on new versions of iOS and new screen sizes and all that fun jazz. They had actually released the first Five Nights at Freddy's, got a remastered version in July or something like that. And then after that, they released Five Nights at Freddy's 6, the Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria Simulator,
Yeah.
did that like the following month. And then they were on track to have released this update like over a month ago. And they apparently got held up because Google Play took all their games down for being copycats of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, I've been I've had like a constant DM conversation going with the guy from Click Team that has been dealing with this, because like, yeah, we've been kind of like sharing tips back and forth, because like I had some kind of issues with this with Game Club early on when like we had needed to kind of like figure out the proper order of operations for these people to not think that you're uploading like a scam version of the game, basically. Because it seems like both Apple and Google have like algorithms in place now to detect like someone uploading like Minecraft 2 or whatever, you know?
Right.
Which, like, God, I can't believe it took them this long. Like, that was always, it was always amazing. Like, when you would find people that would like suddenly be like, wow, the App Store is full of scam stuff. Can you believe this one thing? And it's like, this one thing? Are you kidding me? Like, but yeah,
it happens all the time, actually. But yeah, I thought that was kind of amusing in a sort of sad way that they had to fight for like a month or more trying to get their own game back on that was flagged as a clone or whatever and pulled down. So that was really stupid. But with that behind them, it looks like they're full steam ahead with these updates now. And so Five Nights 2 is now updated with the PC versions, high resolution artwork and all that good stuff, high resolution sound effects. And they've also made it widescreen, but in order to do that, because it was designed for a 4:3 aspect ratio screens, they stretched it, and since that looks like crap to a lot of people, you have the option to play either in widescreen or in 4:3, which I think is a nice little touch.
Yeah,
there.
That's cool. Yeah, these are really like I would almost say like passion projects. They've been done so well, which is really cool to see, because Five Nights at Freddy's is like such a huge. Huge thing.
Yeah. So my guess is that they're going to release Ultimate Custom Night next, which is the like make your own Five Nights at Freddy's game pretty much. And then beyond that, they're going to be remastering all the rest of the Five Nights games, 3, 4, Sister Location. And I think that's all of them up to 6. 6 is already out. So if you like these games, play the remastered versions.
Hell yeah.
They're really times. Cool. So should we pause to do a? Do you need to do a AirPod?
Oh, talk? Well, I need to fiddle around with like my phone and stuff, but I got my AirPods Pro. They just showed up.
What do you
right
think
now.
Of the size of the case? It's a little bit longer and shorter.
I don't care. It's fine.
Is it more or less the same size?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can kind of see, but it's basically.
It's not that different.
Basically the same, just a little taller.
Interesting. And then the shapes of the AirPods themselves. What do you think?
I don't know. They seem cool. I guess they're a little smaller, a little cooler. I don't know.
Yeah, they announced these, and I was like, man, my number one problem with my AirPods is that they don't stay in my ear as much as I'd like them to. And then they announced these things that have the silicone tips, and they look like they fit way better. And I'm like, damn it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, so I got the second generation AirPods, or AirPods 2 or whatever, and, like, I use these fucking things so much that, like, my cost per use on AirPods is probably, like, in line with my iPhone. When the new ones came out, I was just like, done. I use these every single day.
Every single day. And even if you buy a new pair every year, that's still less than $1 a day for having really convenient headphones.
But, yeah. And like my major complaint with the AirPods always was that like they did such a bad job of isolating outside noise.
Yeah.
Because like I use them a lot at the gym, or try to anyway. And like, I don't know what the fuck is up with the people that run my Park District gym. Cause like, some days like the music will be like nice and like mellow, and other days it'll be like just off the chain loud.
Yeah. Huh.
So this solves that problem, because like otherwise I like wear my big headphones to the gym and it's just kind of annoying.
Annoying. Yeah. Very interested to hear. Maybe we'll do a trip report on this next week.
Yeah, once I have more than 8 seconds to look at the box, I will.
I've been very tempted though to pull the trigger on them, just because I was like, I went through this whole headphone phase of buying new headphones, wired headphones, and sort of like swore off wireless everything because of my AirPods. And now they announce these ones that solve like my major problem with the other AirPods. So I don't know what I'll end up doing, but waiting for now, I think is what I'll do.
Yeah.
Moving along. So this week, a very cool update was released for a game called Vigil RPG. It's the 5-year anniversary update, and this is the first update for the game in almost 4 years, and basically adds like, you know, full screen support for all the new devices and stuff like that. But this is a really interesting game. This is actually A guy made this in his spare time because back in 2014 or whenever it first released, he wanted a very specific type of RPG and nobody out there had made it. So he decided to make his own, which I always like that story. And it turned out to be one of a game that Sean likes a whole lot too and has written about it in his RPG Reloads and stuff. He actually does a interview with the developer Agro Magnet Games. It's a really interesting interview to hear him talk about how he came about creating this game, which is more or less based on the original Dragon Quest or Dragon Warrior, if you are in North America, and you probably own that game if you subscribe to Nintendo Power, because they sent all the unsold copies to Nintendo Power subscribers back in the day. But anyway, he modeled it after that and wanted the combat to be like the Paper Mario, the original Paper Mario, Nintendo 64, which I thought was a really odd game. You never hear anyone talk about, you know, modeling a game after Paper Mario, really.
Yeah.
So kind of an interesting mashup of two game types. And it works out really well in a mobile game. So you should definitely check it out. It's a whole whopping $1.99, but you will be able to play this for many, 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 many hours if you like old school turn-based RPGs. I think you'll like it.
$1.99? I don't know.
199 pennies, please. So this was really just a chance to talk about Undead Horde, because I chose it as the game of the week when it launched last week, or maybe the week before. I can't remember anymore. But anyway, it is now has a confirmed release date for the Android version, and there's pre-registrations live on the Google Play Store. So if you're an Android person, you can go check it out. But more than anything, I just wanted to talk about how cool this game is. Did you play this one yet?
I have the icon on my phone.
Yeah, you should tap that icon.
So, the problem now is, like, between, like, Apple Arcade rapid firing games, like, Game Club games being released, and, like, all the cool shit on the App Store, it's like, I am flooded with more content than...
It was a problem before.
Ever before.
Game Club and Apple Arcade has basically made it just a completely unworkable situation for me. But, so I did play this quite a bit, though, when it came out, and it's just an awesome game. You play as a necromancer, and... you run around. It's kind of just a hack and slash game, but you can raise the dead. So you start off at this sort of like hub area, and you can spawn. I think you can have up to only 12 minions that follow you around or whatever. You can spawn them in the hub world, and then you go into the level that you want to play. And then you're trying to like destroy these villages and kill all the, you know, humans. And so you can send. You have really simple. Basically, go and attack or come back to me commands for your little horde. And then, so they'll run off and they'll fight little mobs of people. And you can hop in yourself and hack and slash and help out. Or you can run around and destroy their buildings so they don't spawn anymore and stuff like that. But what's really fun about this is that, like, you know, as your minion mob is combating with the other human mob, people are dying. And you can go over there and you can actually resurrect the humans that you've killed and add them to your own little mob and replace the minions that got killed in combat or whatever. So you're constantly playing this game of like keeping your little horde refilled or whatever. And
yeah, that's
it's just,
rad.
It's a really, really fun game. So
I'll spend some time this weekend on this. I just like do between like Luigi's Mansion, everything, like the amount of games.
No.
Absolutely.
I know, it's a problem.
And I desperately want to play Outer Worlds on Xbox Game Pass. RPG made by Obsidian. People are saying it's as good as Fallout New Vegas, which has me like,
what are you going to do?
I don't know.
How are you going to spend your time? What are you doing here doing a podcast?
I need to clone myself and have one self do work and the other self do games.
I used to always joke, like, I want to take my week of vacation time to just try and play games.
Yeah.
And I don't think a week would be enough.
It's not as crazy as it sounds, I don't think.
No. And now I have damn family distracting
me. A friend of mine did a staycation where he was like, I just turned my phone off. I ordered pizza every day and Chinese food and just played video games and drank beer. I was like, damn, that sounds way better than every vacation I've ever taken.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It makes you really appreciate the days when you were a kid. And,
no kidding.
All he had was time, pretty much. He had to go to school for what, like 4 hours a day or something stupid? Like, so anyway, moving on. Blackmoor 2 is a game that I like a whole bunch, and it just got a huge update called the Hallow Knights expansion, which adds six 6 new stages to play through and a new playable character, John Jacob, which is featured in previous games from this developer. These guys actually used to be called Moof Games, and they were one of my favorite developers. And then somewhere along the lines, they changed their name to 4Fats, but they still kind of make the same sort of games or whatever. Blackmore 2 is their newest game. It came out about a year ago, and it's more or less an action platformer, but it has like combat mechanics that are kind of ripped from Street Fighter. And so it actually has a little bit more interesting melee combat than your typical beat 'em up might have.
Yeah.
And then they expanded on
that.
It's
free too. Like
it's free to play, and you can disable ads. Like, yeah, it's really easy to play through the whole thing without paying anything if you don't want. In June, I want to say, or maybe July, they released a huge expansion called Super Pub Fighter. And because the combat mechanics in it are so similar to a fighting game, they actually updated the game with a full-blown fighting game mode, like a full separate mode with one-on-one stages, and you fight through an arcade ladder just like you would in Street Fighter 2. And yeah, it's just like, could have easily been its own game, but they released it as an update, and that was really cool. So
yeah,
but now they've gone back to add stages to like the story mode and stuff like that, and a new playable character there. So we're checking out Blackmore 2, Black M-O-O-R 2.
Yeah, this game, I have nothing but good things to say about it. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's a really good game. And like we said, you can play for free.
Yeah. And I think the no ads is what, like $2, maybe $3? Not even.
Yeah. Real cheap.
All right. Get ready to get mad. Here we go, baby.
Get mad online.
To be fair,
so Nintendo on Twitter announced
people that are mad.
They're going to be doing a beta for the multiplayer mode in Mario Kart Tour for mobile, and that the beta will be available to the Gold Pass subscribers only.
Oh my god! This is like if I was like Jared, I go get your chemistry set out, and I want you to brew me a potion that is sure to spark the highest amount of internet anger from every group. Yeah. I want you to piss off the Gamer Gators. I want you to piss off the Nintendo fans. I want you to piss off people that don't even care about games. What can you come up with?
And well, it makes me laugh because it almost feels like it's almost like parody of like, what's the like one like really really scummy thing we could do that would just like annoy everybody?
Oh my god!
But like I haven't poked around too much, but I haven't seen anyone even get that mad about this because maybe it's a mobile game and no one cares.
I mean, but the takes that I've seen have basically just been like, of course this is how this is, and it is so fucking stupid.
Well, I feel like all the people that would be mad about this played the game for like a day and were like, this sucks, and deleted it. So maybe they don't even care anyway. But I feel like Nintendo probably knows something that we don't know about the amount of people that are subscribing to a weekly subscription service for this Mario Kart Tour game. And it's probably a lot if that's who they're dishing out the beta versions to. But
yeah.
I don't know.
I guess to clarify, is this going to be free eventually to everyone, or is the multiplayer always only going to be you have to subscribe to play?
That is a good question that I don't have the answer for.
See,
and I wouldn't be surprised either way.
That's what I saw a lot of the initial like anger / jokey memes about, was people assuming that you always would need to pay to play multiplayer. Whereas like, I kind of wonder if it's like more like, hey, we want to try this feature. Like, we want to make sure the servers aren't going to just crash. Like, how can we segment users? Oh, I know. Let's just give it to the people that have Gold Pass.
I think that's it. And I think when it launches, multiplayer is going to be free because it's been advertised in the game and stuff like that and never been mentioned as like it's going to be this premium feature you have to pay a subscription for or anything like that. And I feel like you, as they probably wanted to just offer it as an additional bonus. I mean, having... you know as well as anybody, having a subscription service, you feel like you want to constantly be adding value to it.
Yeah, you have to.
Adding reasons for people to keep subscribing and stuff like that. So this could just be their way of adding a little bonus. Is like, hey, if you're subscribed to the premium Mario Kart, then we're going to let you have first crack at the beta or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't think it'll be a paid thing when it actually launches, but it just comes across as scummy because everyone's sort of like balked at the idea of a subscription service in this game in the first place.
Well, it's just kind of insane.
Like this premium premium little bonus to it.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you consider, like, Apple coming out and pricing Apple Arcade at $5 really just kind of like set the standard for like the value you get out of a subscription on mobile, right? And yeah, like Game Club had to be $5 too as a reaction to that, because it would have been insane for us to launch it any more than $5, because it's like, this is what Apple is charging, and Apple has a crazy offering, so that's the gold standard that you compare everything to. So for it seems like a insane value proposition to get like a little bit more stuff in Mario Kart for the same price that you could get Apple's
100 games.
Yeah, however many games they have live now, or like Game Club's like 50 some games that are live now, like bonkers. But well, I don't know.
So do you think that do you think that Apple raced to the bottom themselves on subscription pricing?
I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think about, I guess. But at the same time, I don't know. Like, if you're, that's the other thing too. Like, all these things are so cheap that, like, if you're just like really into Mario Kart and you really like playing on your phone and stuff, like $5 a month is like, who gives a shit? You know, like, whatever. It's $5 for a thing I really like.
I would think that anybody that plays any sort of free-to-play game super routinely, the times that they busted their wallet open for one thing or the other is probably around a weekly subscription fee to Mario Kart. You know what I mean? It probably all evens out in the end anyway. So
that's the thing. I mean, like, so my girlfriend Lindsay plays Heyday and Animal Crossing, whatever the Pocket Camp or whatever the subtitle is. She spends money on them like every now and again, like when they have like a really good sale, which is like once a month. You know, they'll have like the get an insane amount of gems for $5. It's like a $15 value or whatever. And like it would be functionally no different if it was like both games just cost $5 a month and they had none of that bullshit, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right.
So I don't know.
Whatever. I imagine it's that way for this too. And Mario Kart's such a beloved thing that I'm sure there's smartphone users everywhere that have never read any sort of opinion on Reddit about the matter and are happily paying $8 a week or whatever it is to play like golden VIP Mario Kart Tour.
Yeah. I mean, like me personally, like I just really just, I mean, I have my Switch sitting within like reach of me, like, and I have Mario Kart 8 on here. Why would I ever play Mario Kart Tour?
I could never play Mario Kart Tour properly with one hand. I thought it was a nice idea, but it felt just wrong to me.
Yeah.
And other than that, free-to-play junk and stuff like that didn't really bother me. I would have probably stuck with it if it felt fun to play and like I was able to control it well, and I just didn't click with me. So
yeah, no, I mean, I guess I'm just saying, like, my opinion on this is not as a player of this game, but as more of just someone that's like, I am not interested in this because I have Mario Kart on Switch.
The
like,
optics are bad on
that's my point. Yeah,
but only bad to a certain segment of the audience.
This I just like wish that companies would stop doing this stuff, because like if you wanted to like bundle up like the ultimate thing for like some mobile hater, you know, like to point at and make fun of, it would be Nintendo charging $5 a month to play multiplayer Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The optics suck, but whatever.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But so next story is on BlizzCon.
Yeah, so BlizzCon is today. And, man, what an about-face from last year's BlizzCon, huh?
Yeah.
They started off the show with Diablo 4. Like a 15-minute cinematic trailer for Diablo 4, and then talked about it for another 15 minutes, and they have playable demos on the floor, and not a single whisper of Diablo Immortal for mobile.
Yeah, I think, didn't Eric mention that it's not even available for demo?
It is playable on the floor. Yeah, we have Eric at the show. Playable on the floor and like a dark corner, like is how you describe it. There's like one wall with some mobile devices and it's playable or something like that. But
I still maintain that that game by itself will make more money than the entire Diablo franchise.
I feel like it's sort of sad. Like Blizzard was pretty much screwed on what they're going to do, because they're still on the edge of the Hong Kong protesting controversy stuff that happened a few weeks ago. And everyone was sort of assuming that BlizzCon was going to be a massive disaster because of all that backlash. And so I feel like Blizzard had no option but to tread as lightly as possible and placate the real gamer crowd as much as possible. And so that's why they just led with Diablo 4 right out the gate and then moved straight into, you know, World of Warcraft and stuff like that without mentioning anything that could possibly get people mad, you know.
Yeah,
it's find something to get mad about.
But. Honestly, I find it to be a little disappointing, like how short everyone's attention span is on stuff like this. And like, so this comes with the caveat of like, I have been a lifelong fan of Blizzard, like as long as I've been playing games. So I love their shit, and I know a ton of people that work there, and they're all super cool and stuff. But like, they really fucked up on this Hong Kong thing, and they've done like almost nothing to fix stuff beyond like a couple like very measured apologies, including like leading off with one at BlizzCon and stuff. But like the dude's still banned and everything else. Like yeah, I guess they like lightened his penalties a little bit, but like not a whole lot has changed. And it's just kind of like annoying how everyone's like, yeah, this thing, we were super pissed for a really good reason. Like last week, well, Diablo 4 is out and I don't care anymore.
Right.
Yeah, which is like the most predictable thing imaginable.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, I get it. You know, like China's a huge market. Like Blizzard's an international company. This is tricky waters for a lot of companies to deal with.
Well, but I feel like if I was a company owner or whatever, you know, I don't know. It's such a tricky situation. And I feel like there's definitely arguments on every side of it because on the one hand, you have this super, super popular esports stuff. You're kind of at the forefront of all the popular esports. And you want that to be the focus. You know what I mean? And so when an individual takes the focus away from that for whatever reason it is, or however, you know, good of a message they're trying to send or whatever, it's still kind of like, damn it, now this is a thing about that and not a thing about like our games. And that's a tough position to be in.
But well, what I find to be personally the most irritating about this is that like, you know, Blizzard's stance on this has been like, oh, we don't allow politics. Like that's the reason why he was banned, is because like he had politics or whatever, but, or, you know, like mentioned politics on stream and stuff. But it's like everything is politics when you think about it. Like they're, to some people, their support of, you know, like all the LGBTQ stuff is highly political and everything else. And, you know, like you name it these days, you know, like something's political to everyone. So like, I don't know, it's just really crazy that like some things that are, you know, politically charged to a lot of people are totally fine and acceptable. And other things like this Hong Kong stuff is not, which like, I don't know, I just, they should be consistent on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think more than anything else.
Well, I'm sure the Chinese market played a big part in that, like everyone is saying, but I think there's other factors at play too. And I don't know. I part of me is also like, man, if you're popular enough to be on like a big live broadcast for something and you can make a statement about something you care about, then I feel like you should be able to do that too. So it's tough though. I think it's a tough situation. I think Blizzard overall, is one of the better companies out there that doesn't want to try and do, shitty. I feel like their hand is forced to be shitty sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, they're just in like such an impossible situation. Cause you can't like, it's equally difficult for them to come out and be like, yeah, you know, China's really fucking up with this Hong Kong thing. Like all this stuff. Cause all that means is like, all right, well, Blizzard's deleted from China now.
Deleted 100%. Yeah. Like you're done over there. So yeah, it's an interesting situation, I will say. But
it just sucks because I feel like most people on the planet now, when they look at like what's happening in Hong Kong, they're like, yeah, that is super fucked and not right and everything else. Yeah. So it's just really disappointing when you see a company that makes things that you really like and are like a big part of like your kind of like even like upbringing as like a gamer, you know, like influential like IPs and things like that in your life that are just like, yeah, that's not great, but we can't, you know, say a whole lot because we don't want to piss them off kind of thing. When like you want them to be like, no, dude, like you're the Overwatch people, like every voice matters, like this is fucked, like, you know, get out there and do something. But I don't know, it's whatever. But yeah, so anyway, new Hearthstone. There's only so much you can really do, and it just I don't know, it makes you wish you could do more, but whatever. But so new Hearthstone expansion, Descent of Dragons. I haven't actually had time to like really digest everything that they, cause this keynote that they was like the keynote that they did to start off BlizzCon was like one of those, like if you got up and pissed, like you missed 50 announcements kind of thing, you know? So, it seems like they're adding like some kind of like auto chess mode
Yeah, I think
game mode
Battleground
to
is
this, and
the
like,
chess copycat game.
that seems cool. I'm
Yeah.
interested in that. Like, you know, new mechanics are always neat. They showed off like the new keyword is invoke, which I guess allows you to kind of like trigger cards multiple times, and other sort of things like that. So I don't know. I'm excited to kind of like get more gameplay because typically they always have these new expansions like playable, like a little demo on the floor. So I'm excited
Yeah.
to hear more about that beyond like rapid fire, like card reveals in a trailer and like the other
Yeah.
stuff.
I don't know what this speaks to the game of Hearthstone itself, or if this was just a matter of how the convention was, but apparently when they started talking about Hearthstone, there was just a mass annex of people from the audience. They were rushing to line up for Diablo and WoW stuff.
Well, I
And
think,
so it like and immediately emptied out when Hearthstone stuff started up.
I
Which I
think.
again, I don't know if that's because Hearthstone seems like it's been waning in popularity, but maybe that's my imagination. I don't
Well,
really know.
yeah.
Or if that's truly it was like Hearthstone time, let's get up and leave.
I think it's more just like, okay, well, those were the big announcements I cared about. Like, I'll read about this Hearthstone stuff later, or watch on my phone or whatever else. I really want to get in line for Diablo kind of thing. Because,
Yeah.
like, I don't know. Like, people are always saying like, "Oh, Hearthstone's waning in interest and stuff like that." Like, yeah, maybe sure, but like, it's like saying, "Oh, Pokemon Go is dead," because like, they went from a bazillion people playing it to just tons of millions of people playing it. You
Right.
know,
Well, it
so
wouldn't be one of their tentpole franchises anymore, I don't think, if it wasn't still doing pretty well. So,
yeah, I personally churned out of Hearthstone, which kind of sucks, but like, but I missed an expansion because I don't know what I was doing. Like, I was just busy and didn't play it when it came out, and then it was
felt
like,
it
oh, well, there's
back.
another one coming soon, so this sucks. And then pretty soon I was like two expansions behind, and now it's like, oh, almost all my cards are no good now, and I don't know. So I like Hearthstone a lot though. It's a good game, really fun. So yeah.
So that's about all the news we have from this week, but let's shoot over to a news story from over 10 years ago as we revisit our original Mini Gore review from July of 2009, written by yourself.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And that is to celebrate Mini Gore being the first new game released for Game Club since the subscription went live
Yeah, we
last week.
did not put this one in any public beta or anything, just released this. This game is so fucking good, it's stupid.
Yeah,
Like, I
it's a pretty timeless game.
It's really wild with like some of our Game Club games that I picked up. Like, well, like look at I'll look at like historical coverage and like what people were saying about it, like on the forums and like, you know, just my general recollection of it and stuff like that, and be like, oh yeah, this game is really good. Like, we definitely need to update this. And then we'll get the update going, and I'm just like, oh man, this is not as good as I remember it. Where, and that's like, it hasn't been like a big thing at all, but like, Mini Gore is the complete opposite. It was like, I've got the first like updated version on my phone. I was like, holy shit, like this game, I didn't even remember it being
It's got
this
the
good.
special sauce of dual stick shooters, I think, for sure.
Yeah, they like nailed the virtual controls of the dual stick shooter, and like, I don't know, there's just like something so satisfying about the cadence of the game where it's like you are like walking backwards in circles, like killing all these dudes, and then like stepping on the four-leaf clover power-ups, and then you power up into like the bull, and then just run over all the enemies. And that's like
That's a
the,
very satisfying thing.
it's just, I don't know, it's like super, and like, I don't know if this is just how I play it or like an intentional game design thing or what, but it's like, I feel like the cadence of that is always like you're always picking up like your third four-leaf clover when it's like, shit, I'm about to be
Like
overwhelmed,
I
or
absolutely need
yeah,
it.
which is like, I don't know, always really neat. And the difficulty curve is really good. It's a survival shooter in that like you just go as long as you can. And I totally forgot also revisiting it, like just how many characters they added through the life of the game. Because like, remember when they were adding it, it would be like, oh, it's Christmas, like Santa Claus is playable, and everyone would lose their mind. And now like going back to it afterwards, be like, shit, there are is an insane amount of playable characters in this, and like some of them do different stuff and change the game around a little bit, and
Yeah, I feel
I don't
like
know.
ha half the story here is how good of a dual stick shooter this
Yeah.
is, just a really pure, good dual stick shooter. And the other half of the story is the community stuff revolving around its development and release, which is sort of like legendary in the world of Tetricade because the upcoming discussion thread for this game was just crazy, nonstop posts, people losing their minds waiting for this to come out.
It was like a moderation nightmare too.
It was a moderation nightmare. And and I think everyone always forgets too that Minigore was designed as like a prequel, like quick little game for Hardgore.
Yeah, which never
is
came
a game
out.
That Mountain Sheep was, that was like the real game that they were developing. And this was supposed to be like a quick little project to throw out there to kind of get anticipation for Hardgore, which never even actually came out.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like their like more involved, like light version of Hardgore, basically.
And instead, I think Minigore sort of stole the thunder from all of that, and then they did all right for themselves, just keeping this thing maintained with like new characters and stuff like that. But even in addition to that, they had a lot of plans for this game that I think they never eventually realized, like in terms of new episodes and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff I think got thrown into the sequel that came out a few years later. But I don't know. I was a big fan of the sequel, but it was very grindy sort of game. There was like a bajillion items and weapons to unlock and upgrade and stuff like that.
Yeah, they started
which
to
is fun.
Like...
I mean, it's I think games like this, where they're high scoring games, benefit really well from a progression system like that. But then when you go back and you play the original, and it's just like more pure, and you're like, okay, like I'm not worrying about any of that, you know, jimmy jacking around with upgrade stuff. Like I'm just playing a high score chaser, and that's really fun.
Yeah. So I don't know. I had nothing but good things to say about Minigore. Like the thread is like a huge part of early Tetricade history. Like I remember like getting into arguments with moderators who were like trying to like really police it hardcore, and I was like, guys, just like let it go. Like there's
just let the kids have their fun.
Just let them post their, because they were posting like memes before like anyone knew to call them memes, right? Like the Minigore dog and shit like that. Like it's absolutely crazy. Like I don't know, because the circumstance surrounding this release was like they had submitted it to Apple. At that time, Apple was taking about like 2 weeks to review an app or something like that.
Yeah,
like a long time, and they didn't like set like a release date or anything. It's just like whenever it pops up, like whenever Apple approves it, it'll be on the App Store, and that would happen around like what, like 10 o'clock Pacific or something like that. No, I think it was like midnight Eastern is when the App Store turned over. So yeah, like you, like the thread was just this insane like internet party of all these people that like every night just had nothing to do beyond like post dumb shit and wait for midnight to see whether or not like Minigore would be on the App Store. Which is like such an insane thing to think about when you compare to how like modern App Store releases are now, where it's like, oh, this is soft launch, it's tuned a bunch. All right, here's like the pre-registration, here's the launch date, all this other stuff. And like, I don't know, it was pretty cool.
That was one of the things though that I feel like really set mobile apart in the early days and really made it such an exciting place to be, is like, I know there'd be so many times, like I'd be on my lunch break or something like that, log into to Tetricade and be like, holy crap, like SimCity just came out, or you know what I mean? Like, the, you never knew what you were going to find on any given day. It didn't matter what day it was. And that there's something really fun about that, well, being surprised by new releases all the time.
And remember, too, like, early App Store policies Apple had were, like, that the bigger publishers, like, followed to the letter. Were like, hey, you cannot talk about your game until it's available on the App Store and we've approved it and everything else. Like, don't even mention it exists to anyone, which, like, all the indie devs were like, right. That's a bunch of bullshit. I've been talking about this for a year.
Yeah.
Whereas like the EAs and Chilingos of the world, like really listened to that.
Right.
And so you had these situations where like, what the fuck? Command and Conquer just hit the App Store. Like what is even happening?
Yeah.
Like some random Tuesday at midnight, like Command and Conquer's here.
Yeah.
So
but those were the days. So it's fun to revisit stuff like this through Game Club. That's part of the reason that you guys exist, I think, is to preserve this sort of history.
Next week, we've got Hi, How Are You? Is going to be the release, which is the Daniel Johnston game, which is like so fucking good. It's crazy.
Super good. And he just recently passed like a month ago.
Yeah. I like, honestly, like that was like, it, like loading up like the first functional beta of that, like seriously gave me the chills with like how cool the game is and like how it's like, damn, this is like playing a game inside of Daniel Johnston's brain. Cause it uses like all of his art and everything else, which is really cool. So that'll be coming out next week. And then, I don't know what's after that. I think a lot of stuff's in the works,
A lot of stuff.
but
Well,
yeah, I
nobody
hope.
has time anymore.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff to play on Game Club.
Exactly.
Lots of good stuff to play on Apple Arcade. Lots of still good premium games launching outside of either of those services. And lots of good stuff on the Switch.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff on every platform.
You want to talk about, did you get a
A lot of
chance
good
to
stuff.
play Luigi's Mansion on the Switch at all?
Huh?
Did you play
No,
Luigi's
I haven't
Mansion?
played.
Did you download it?
No, I haven't even bought it yet.
Oh man, dude, it has exceeded my expectations on a
That's what
level
everyone
that's
says.
weird.
It's like it's getting crazy rave reviews, which made me like normally I'd be like, oh, maybe I'll buy that someday after I've beaten, all the other games I have. But since everyone was talking so highly about it, and it's like, first party Nintendo game, I feel like I wanted to pick it up.
Yeah.
So.
It's crazy, like it is bonkers to me. And I said this on Twitter, like that it absolutely insane, like what kind of graphics Nintendo can push out of like such a like comparatively underpowered thing
Yeah.
compared to like modern mobile
Yeah.
devices, you know? Like the game looks absolutely insane. So, I don't know. It is what it is, I
How
guess.
far into are you?
Like maybe like 3 or 4 hours.
Okay.
I guess so I've got like it's got this like really good like long kind of like tutorial-ish thing where you're like slowly unlocking extra stuff and like different like functionality in the game. 'Cause like it's weird because like when you first start playing, like all you can really do is like push X to interact with things.
Okay.
And I was like, I haven't played a Luigi's Mansion game.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just how it is. Like I thought this was more complicated than that. Then like you get like your ghost vacuum and your flashlight and like a mini map and like the way that everything is unlocked is like this really cool like narrative driven thing and like nothing but good things to say about it. It's so fucking good.
I'm excited, and that's I mentioned on the pre-show that I had just bought a 3DS game for the first time in quite a long time. I got the remake of the original GameCube version that they released for 3DS, because I thought it'd be fun to plow through that because it's only a few hours long,
Yeah.
and kind of refamiliarize myself because I haven't played it since the GameCube launched, which is like 20 years ago. I never replayed it, so that's like kind of a trip to think about. A game that I loved it at the time though. Like I remember, people were really high on Luigi's Mansion when it came out. basically, the only negative was that it was a short game. But
Yeah, so
I
I
remember even being surprised because Mario Sunshine hadn't launched yet, and so it's like, what the hell are you gonna play on this GameCube? And it's like Luigi's Mansion was kind of all there was,
Yeah.
and I played the crap out of it.
Yeah,
So.
see, I don't think I got a launch day. I don't remember when I bought my GameCube. I don't think it was a launch thing, though. I think I bought it after the fact, so I kind of like missed Luigi's Mansion. And then when the one for the was DS or 3DS?
3DS.
Yeah, when that came out, I bought it and played it for a little bit, but there was like something that I don't know. Like
I
something
remember
came
about
out
it.
at
I
the
think it
time or
launched during E3 or GDC or something like that. I'm pretty sure that you bought it during it while we were at a convention.
maybe,
Or
yeah.
it just came out right before that
Yeah,
or
it
something.
like came out at a time where just like I had zero time to play it, and then like by the time I did, like another game had come out, and it just like went back in the binder of 3DS games. And so this is like
Yeah.
my first like real th a Luigi's Mansion experience, and I fucking love it. It is ridiculous how good it is.
I know you're beyond this, but I'm on the last dungeon of Link's Awakening, so
Oh
I
yeah.
think I'm gonna wrap that up before I try and
Yeah, do
start
that
Luigi's
first.
Mansion.
That game is also really, that's my favorite Zelda game by far.
It's crazy how fun and good it is, and I think it was I'm really happy I just replayed the Game Boy one, like not too long ago because everything was still kind of fresh, even though I still got super stuck on some of the puzzles, but because some of the stuff is just so abstract, but. It was really fun to like have all that the Game Boy stuff pretty fresh in my mind, and then seeing the remake version's take on all of it was super fun. And so yeah, that's I would highly recommend playing through the Game Boy Color version if you are able to
Hell yeah.
sometime because it's really fun. But the remake is just so good.
Well, so they've like absolutely destroyed that game as far as sales are concerned. Like it sold like millions of units and stuff. So I've got like all my fingers and toes crossed that they do similar treatment with Oracles and Seasons, the other
Yeah.
Zelda games that
Yeah.
are also Game Boy Color games that were extremely good and very underrated and underappreciated.
I actually I went into a weird rabbit hole, possibly on YouTube, that the Oracles and Seasons games, Oracle of Ages and Seasons, was supposed to be a trilogy of games, and that they ran out of time or something like that. And I think even it was like Miyamoto was the one that was like, just make it, cut it down to two games. And some of the ideas you had for the third game just kind of spread between the two or whatever. It was originally supposed to be a trilogy. And then Capcom made those games with Nintendo. And so years later on the Game Boy Advance, Capcom made the Minish Cap. And the Minish Cap, in a lot of respects, is considered kind of like a spiritual third game in the trilogy. And there's a lot of nods to the Seasons and Ages games in it.
Another super unappreciated, underappreciated Minish Zelda Cap game
would be off the charts. If they bundled all three of those and remade them all with like the same Link's Awakening art style, I'd be on board for that. So
yeah, awesome.
But anyway, I think my voice is dying. I think we should wrap it all
up. All right, here. Yeah, let's drive this bus off the cliff.
Let's drive off a cliff. Thank you so much for listening to the very first episode of the second season ever of the Touch Arcade Show. You know what we need is one of those like sizzle reels of what's coming up in this season of the Touch Arcade Show. Will I be trying to get murdered again by a home invader? I don't know.
Maybe, you're probably.
Have to wait 10 years to find out.
Will Jared drown in his pool? Probably. Will I kill myself on my boosted board? Probably.
Boosted board. Will you ever get a new inflatable battle blast? I don't know. All this and more will be answered in the second season of Touch Arcade Show. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like what we're doing here at Touch Arcade, we are primarily supported through our readers and listeners and viewers. So please visit patreon.com/TouchArcade and consider throwing a little cash our way for some cool exclusive bonus stuff. And just the satisfaction of knowing that you're keeping an independent website independent and still going. You can also help us out by doing your Amazon shopping through TouchArcade.com/Amazon. And I don't think I can say any more words. So with that, I will say thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.
See ya.